Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
You're listening to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast, bringing you in-depth interviews with the stars and creators of the hottest shows on Broadway and beyond. I'm your host, Variety's theater editor, Gordon Cox. On this episode of Stagecraft, I'll be talking to current Tony nominee LaShams, the Broadway favorite whose breakout role came as Timon in the original production of Once on This Island, and who went on to win a Tony as Celie in the original production of The Color Purple. She's back on Broadway this season playing Donna Summer in Summer, the new Behind the Music musical from the creative team of Jersey Boys. LaShams is here in the studio with me, fresh off her nomination in the category of Leading Actress in a Musical. Hi, LaShams. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Congratulations on your nomination.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You've obviously had some prior experience with the Tonys, both with the nomination for Once on This Island and the win for The Color Purple. What's your take on how a nomination affects an actor's career?
Well, the first time I was nominated, I was so young. It was my first leading role on Broadway,
yeah.
And it sort of was a shock that I would have even been considered for a Tony nomination. And it immediately put me in a circle of women that I had been admiring for years. Patti LuPone. It was just amazing. She's like my spirit animal. Patti
was she
LuPone.
Nominated that year?
No, but I'm thinking about her.
About
as
who?
Being
yeah, of course.
Some right. of the women. She was nominated yeah. the year that I was nominated for The Color Purple.
Oh, for Color Purple, right.
But I'm just saying it put me in the circle of women who have been nominated for Tonys.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Patti LuPone as a woman that I idol and have come to respect and admire, just having met her a few times socially.
Right.
It put me in the circle of Patti LuPone. So immediately, I felt my own self-value go up.
Right.
But it also put me on the list with some incredible women. And it did, in fact, boost my career.
Sure. And the win, what's your take on how a win affects your career?
It's interesting because while I may be at... Well, what it did for my career, which I found to be interesting, was it put me in a circle of women... Another circle, another realm, film and television realm, but at the bottom of that list. So I'd walk into auditions for movies and TV with women that have been celebrated already in film and television, but I was at least in the circle of those women. And so I got into on another list, but at the bottom of that list. I'm at the top of the theater list, but the bottom of the film and TV list at that time.
Right. All right.
So it's interesting.
And so can you enjoy this process now that you've been through it a few times?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is thrilling. Being nominated for a Tony Award is the most prestigious accolade that one gets in theater. And here I am, back on Broadway again. Haven't been on Broadway in 3 years.
Yeah, it was.
If then,
thank you.
Yes, and it was an amazing experience. But to be back on Broadway doing a role that I love as much as I do, and to have been nominated not only for a Tony but a Drama Desk, and
yeah.
also for the Drama League, it's really amazing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And is it? For the cast and the crew now after the nominations, has it been particularly fun to do the show every night?
For me, it has been. yes, and, being aware that there are Tony voters in the audience, which is something that I don't typically like to think about, it definitely puts me outside of myself a bit. I try to focus on just staying in character and being true to the role and everything, but the cast and the crew are so supportive and so excited, and my phone has not stopped buzzing, and everyone that sees me gives me a great big hug. So we're all thrilled, and we're thrilled for Ariana as well.
Yes,
so
we should say Ariana DeBose nominated for Tony as well.
Yeah, in Best Feature
category, yeah, exactly.
Which is amazing.
Yep.
She's phenomenal. So it's really nice to also see the excitement through her eyes as well.
Right.
So
right. Yeah.
It's been great.
So let's talk a little bit about Summer and the part you play in it. I have read that when you were growing up, when Donna Summer would come on the radio, your parents would change the station. Is that right?
Yes.
And why was that? Was it because she was dirty? Is it because they didn't like disco? What was the, like...
It was only that song, though.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't Donna Summer in general.
Okay.
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, all
no,
right.
Last Dance was a hit in my
okay.
house. No, it.
It
was Love to Love You, Baby.
Got it.
It was
oh,
all makes... of the sensuality of that song.
Understood.
That's the one she would turn down in the right. car. Only that one.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because my brothers would go ape in the back seat whenever that came on. So it was only that one.
Right. And where would this have been at the time? I know that you were born in Florida. Is that right?
I was born in Florida. I lived in Florida until I was about 12 years old.
Okay.
And then my parents divorced and my mom moved me and my siblings to Connecticut.
Yep.
And we were with an uncle for a while and before we moved out on our own. But that's when I was introduced to theater because mm-hmm. that's when I started seeing the commercials.
Oh, right,
musicals.
Of course. Yeah.
Because you don't see musical commercials in Miami.
No.
You just don't see them. So I would see these commercials and I would say, Mom, please, I want to go see this show. I want to see this show. And I was fascinated because I had no idea, no concept of Broadway in Florida, just no concept of the whole world. So my mom took me to see Chicago. It was the first show that I saw.
Oh, wow, who's in it?
Graciela Danielle was in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of my favorite stories to tell is that all those years ago, the first musical that I ever saw, Graciela Danielle was in the ensemble. And the most important part of my career, the launch of it, Graciela Danielle was the director of.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a great full circle moment. And I've worked with her three times since then.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what was your feeling about Donna Summer? You were a fan? You guys, your
oh,
whole
yeah.
family was a fan?
Oh,
okay.
Of course. My parents were young. My parents were teenagers, so they were party animals. And I ended up being sort of a helper. I was a mommy's helper because I was the oldest and I had a lot of siblings.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah, Donna Summer was disco, you know, queen in my home. My parents loved her music. They would listen and dance and I'm sure partied to her
sure.
music quite a bit. And then when I got to college in the 80s, I started really having a lot more fun with Donna Summer
nice.
and her music. I mean, it's iconic. It's like Michael Jackson. I mean, it spans generations.
Right, yeah. And did you have a favorite song then? And do you have a new favorite song now that you're singing them?
My favorite song was State of Independence,
mm-hmm.
which is not in our show.
I was going to say, I don't recall hearing that in the show.
And I fought.
You worked to fix that, right?
Oh, my God. If you ask Des Makanoff how many times...
Yeah, this is the director, Des. Yeah.
Des Makanoff and Ron, uh-huh. who was our musical supervisor.
Right.
Ron Melrose.
Yeah.
He heard several conversations from me about why isn't this song in the show. And ultimately, it was because the writers, Des and Rob, they both felt that lyrically, because we're telling her story, it didn't go along with anything that we were trying to tell, which makes perfect sense. I mean, they created this amazing musical.
Right.
I just liked the song.
Right, yeah.
I just wanted an opportunity to sing
Encore,
it.
Encore, curtain call. That's
you know, something.
Yeah, yeah.
So Ron said to me one day when I was joking with him about how much I love the song, he said, put it in your club act. And I said, you know what? I just might
do
that.
Yeah, you should, right?
Yeah. Just might find a place for it in my show. So.
And so then what's your favorite to sing, of the ones you do get to sing?
Tonight, I was going to say tonight, but yes, it's Friends Unknown, which
right.
is the moment, a really big special moment, because it's her homage to her fans.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right. And what made you decide to commit to the project? Was it your attachment to Donna Summer and wanting to tell her story, or what was the attraction for you?
The way this whole thing came about was back in 2016, I get a message from Des Makanoff. Now, I, of course, knew who he was, but had never worked with him. And he said he'd like to meet with me to discuss a project that he's working on. And I went, sat in his office, he gave me the script, told me the entire concept of the three Donnas and where he sees me as Diva Donna and what I consider this role. It was that sort of simple.
Right.
I took the script home, I took a look at it, loved the music, so the music was easy.
Right.
I was sold on the music already, but I was very interested to see how this concept of three women playing Donna was going to work.
Right.
And I wasn't sure if it was going to work. I wasn't sure if it was going to be a typical, you know, we tell the young story, you know, we have the little Donna, you know, the middle story, the middle Donna, you know, the little Donna. I thought if it was going to be sequential, but it isn't.
Right.
We hop around quite a bit, and we relate to each other.
Right.
as you've seen.
Yeah.
So right. So there was that element that was unique about it that intrigued me. And I found a way to bring a dimension of a person looking back into their own lives and how that would affect you. Just imagine if you could speak to your 12-year-old self.
Right.
If you could speak to your 12-year-old self and watch your 12-year-old self making a mistake, not making a good choice, how that would affect you. All of that affects my character as I'm on stage, because that's what we're doing in summer.
Yeah, that was part of one of my questions that I wanted to ask, was sort of how the three of you coordinated your performances, in that you are all playing the same person at different stages of their lives.
In the beginning, we would discuss physical gestures.
Yeah.
Because one thing that I have to note is we are not imitating Donna Summer. We are not up there trying to become Donna Summer. We are telling the story of her life. We are embodying her spirit through the three of us. But we're not, it's not an imitation, for instance. We are just giving you the truth of who she was, her life, right. why that's so important. But so that we could all resemble her as the three women, we came up with certain gestures that the audience may not know, certain looks that we give to each other, acknowledgments between each other that create the spirit of her for us.
Right. Yeah. The name of your role as the oldest,
Diva Donna.
Diva Donna is Dina. Diva Donna. Does the term diva really fit her at the time? And why do you think that?
Well, I think the reason they chose Diva Donna at that point, because she had at the point that I'm playing her age in the show, she had her success. She,
right, it's
she,
true,
you know,
she was the fully realized.
She was
Donna,
a fully realized
right.
Diva Donna. Everything had happened. Her, you know, her gold albums, her Oscar, her everything. Everything had happened by that time. So she had established herself as the diva at that point. And when you are, and then really when we think about it, there are two ways to think about diva. Some people think of a diva as pretty much a bitch, you
right.
know?
right, right.
Like, you know, oh, yeah. did the diva bitch. They right. kind of go together, you
yeah.
know what I mean? And, or the difficult performer. That's how a lot of times they're like, oh, stop being such a diva. You know, and in fact, it's really not the way I see her at all. A diva is just an accomplished performer. Someone whose name we recognize, someone who's worked her butt off to get where she is, someone who has established a certain level of respect from her peers, someone who's had longevity, who keeps working and keeps producing. So I apply my own personal thought of the diva and definition of a diva to this role.
Yeah, one of the things that I feel like is interesting in the show is that here she has achieved this status as a diva and all these accomplishments, and she in some ways kind of rails against the limitations that they set on her, right? In terms of where she thinks, what she is not allowed to do because she is the disco diva, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. She fought against that quite a bit. Right. That was a lot of her struggle professionally, was that men were controlling what happened in her career. And when she finally was able to get the courage to take control of her life is when it began to grow and evolve and become something other than just, you know, love to love you.
Right, right. And now you did the show at La Jolla, and now you're doing it on Broadway. Is there mm-hmm. a moment that you're, or a scene that you particularly love doing every night?
There are a few scenes that I particularly love doing every night. I love singing Friends Unknown. I love doing that. Something that I really love doing is, because I deliver most of the narration.
Yeah.
I get to address the audience.
Yeah, you talk to us a lot. Yeah.
I do. I talk to you a lot.
Yeah.
I love that. I really, really love that.
What about it? That we give stuff back, or the...
It's because I'm not... using dialogue. I'm not using dialogue, and you're not watching me deliver dialogue. I'm actually talking to you and telling you what's happening and giving you my own personal point of view as Donna
yeah.
about my life, which is another special thing that I think that we do in our show, is the fact, yes, we've seen plays where there have been a narrator telling you what's going on, but I'm narrating as Donna, and I'm telling you this is what happened in my life.
Right.
And it's given, and it's as if I'm given a chance as Donna to correct things and explain things, which we don't always often get to do. And I love that because I get to clarify moments for her, you know, in her life that were very important and some not so nice.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I was going to ask you about. What do you feel like are the toughest moments that the show addresses?
Probably the statement that God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Yeah.
That's the toughest.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about how the show decided, and you as Diva Donna decided to kind of address that in the show.
Well, the writers, Dez and Rob and Coleman, I'm sure they struggled with this one. This is the tough one. This is the tough one because this took her down.
Right.
I mean, she lost a lot of fans when she said that. There were people out there that were having bonfires with her CDs, with her albums, not CDs, back when albums were there.
And, right, yeah.
You know, and a large part of her audience is LGBTQ plus audience members. So they felt that she betrayed them with that statement. And a lot of people came out against her, and they were hurt by that, extremely hurt by that. And the way it was explained to me was that it sort of became bigger than what it was, the initial moment and what was happening. She was in concert. She was trying to get the girls to sing. She wanted the girls, and the boys were singing, and she said this statement and regretted it ever since because it became this, as we say in the show, a Category 5 hurricane.
Yeah.
So as Diva Donna explaining and talking to the audience about this moment, it's difficult.
Yeah,
I'm conflicted because we did lose a lot. I lost a lot of friends back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of LGBTQ plus friends and fans, and it really affects me every night. It gets to that, you know, it gives me that feeling in my stomach of like, ugh, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, that this happened. And how can I be as sincere in this explanation for Donna as possible? And every night, no matter what has happened to me throughout the day, that's one of the purest moments on stage for me.
Right. Interesting. So it's not all heavy stuff, we should say, in the show.
No.
There's a whole lot of dancing. There were a whole lot of sequins, like
sequined
glitter. It's
yes.
It is a lot of fun. I was under a mound of
sorry.
No, it was great. It was fun. It must be hard to clean up every
night. I feel
every
so
night,
sorry
right?
for the front of house staff. They deserve tips.
That disco looks really fun to do on stage.
Oh, absolutely. It's a lot of fun. We, you know, it's Donna Summer. You're going to have fun.
Yeah.
You're going to MacArthur Park. You're going to love to sing.
Right.
Last Dance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the radio. Heaven knows. Enough is enough. Yeah. We do all of the jams.
Yeah.
So people, when they hear the beginning.
Oh, they go crazy,
they
right?
They go crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're standing up. They're dancing. And it doesn't help that Diva Donna at the top of the show says, if you feel like singing, sing.
Oh, yeah.
If you feel like dancing, dance. I mean, you know.
And they do, right?
And they do.
I mean, you told us to. So
I told you to.
Yeah.
So, hey,
yeah, exactly.
Get on up and everyone gets over it.
Yeah.
But I have to say, every night at the end of the show, when the lights black out and I hear that applause, I have never heard that in any show that I've ever done on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
It's almost like being in a concert stadium.
Yeah.
It's that much, you know, appreciation that's coming back at us.
Speaking of shows that you have done on Broadway, have you seen the new production of Once on This Island yet? Did you get a chance?
No, and everyone is asking me why. Mm-hmm. And it's only because of my schedule.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen it. I think I've heard nothing but amazing things of the young woman who's playing T-Moon.
Yes, Haley Kilgore.
I hear she's phenomenal. I hear the production is beautiful.
Yeah. And you also recently released an EP.
I did.
Yeah,
last year.
Yeah, tell me about that. Tell me about how'd you choose those songs?
Okay. Well, first of all, I have my own one-woman show. It's called Feeling Good. Yep. It's actually a journey into my life through song. Not my songs only, but it's I'm writing my memoir as well.
Yeah.
So it's sort of to coincide with the memoir. Mm-hmm. This is the stage version of my memoir, so to speak.
Right.
And I chose those three songs because we are going to do a full album at some point, but I wanted people to just hear some, the style and the quality of what we're doing a little bit to get a sense of it before they come in.
And so just, can you describe it for me? How do you describe the effect you're going for and kind of the mood you're going for?
I'm trying to give people a true sense of what it was like growing up to a teenage... my mom was 15 years old when I was born. Growing up in this period, all the how it all affected my upbringing, how I became LaChance,
yes,
this Broadway actress,
right,
and all the elements that were a part of my life, and the style of my life is something that I don't think a lot of people are aware of. I come from a very, very solidly African-American family that is steeped in African-American culture, style, folklore, you know, everything. We're from the South. It was, I'd have to say, segregation by choice. I mean, we lived in black neighborhoods because, yes, that's where, you know, we were living, but also because we wanted the culture of, we wanted to live in the African-American culture. Even when we moved into a middle-class community, my mother wanted us to move into a middle-class African-American community because she wanted us to be very much aware of our culture, where we come from, who we are, what we've contributed to society. So there's that element. And then that's juxtaposed with this young girl who wants to sing and dance and be in this completely different community, and how that and my background, how it merged, and then my parents, how they were, how their lives were, how it affected me. I also grew up, my dad was in the Coast Guard, so I'm a military brat on top of that, which makes me extremely patriotic, and people are always surprised by that I have a flag on my house, and that I love the 4th of July, and that I, you know, I definitely am that girl who's standing up at watching the Knicks game with her hand over her heart, belting out the national anthem. I mean, that's me. I'm that girl. I'm a true patriot. And that's another element that people don't know about me. And, you know, and then when I became a woman, I met a man and fell in love with him, and the father of my children, and he's no longer with us. And, you know, it's just a lot that has happened in my life that I go through in my own personal show, Feeling Good. And the reason it's entitled Feeling Good is because it's about getting to a place where you can feel good.
Right. Yeah. And has this process made you look at the arc of your life, or maybe parts of your life, in ways that you didn't previously?
I've been working on Feeling Good before I started, before Donna Summer. I've had to stop and start. But I have now, because I've been working on Donna Summer, I'm going back in and rethinking the sort of the moments that I want to highlight in moments, just because I've learned so much through this process about what people want to know. You know, like there are moments that I may want to gloss over, you know, let's get to the happy and fun stuff,
right,
you know, but people really want to know about the gritty stuff too,
yeah,
because it's interesting,
yeah,
and it's it helps them to understand, and it's relatable, right, because everyone has gritty stuff,
yep,
and we want to know how did you deal with your gritty stuff,
right,
how did you get over it, what did you do, how are you where you are, because it can help someone possibly, or they can relate to it and say, ah, yeah, I remember that moment. I remember that gritty moment in my life, and I remember being able to overcome it and thrive. Or maybe I didn't. Maybe there's someone out there that didn't overcome it, and they're still struggling, and maybe my story can help them.
Yeah. Do we know yet when to expect it in bookstores or on the shelves at the record store, if record stores still exist?
Well, if you spoke to my publisher,
you're like, actually, next month.
Yeah. Should have been on the bookshelves by now. Right. But I want to get through the opening and get through this part of the Donna Summer journey before I can delve back into it and really finish it. So let's talk about next year.
Okay, that sounds great. Yeah. Do you have any dream roles in the theater that you want to tackle?
Evita.
Yeah?
I mean, come on. I mean, is that Brent?
You'd be a great Evita.
Evita.
That'd be... Okay.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Make it happen, Broadway. Make it happen.
Judas and Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right? Come on.
I mean, but truthfully, Brandon Victor Dixon on that live performance...
On the live telecast.
Yeah. I don't think that... Like, now when we think of Judas, we see Brandon.
We kind of do, right?
We see Brandon. And, of course, Carl Anderson, who originated it, was Judas for me.
Yeah, of course.
And will always be Judas for me. From the movie, but from the live telecast, is Brandon Victor Dixon.
Yeah.
But if there is ever a world where Judas can be female, that's the role I want to play.
I sort of believe NBC should do that show every Easter and just recast it. So you can be Judas next Easter. Does that sound good?
Amazing. Right. Do you hear that, guys? I want to be Judas.
And one thing I do not know about you that I'm curious about is when and how did you decide to go professionally by only one name?
Okay. So, I grew up, I can tell you my last name.
Yeah.
It's Sapp, S-A-P-P. Yes, Warren Sapp is my cousin. People always want to know.
Yeah,
yes,
all right.
Warren Sapp is my cousin. As a kid, I was teased.
Sure.
Terribly.
Yeah.
There were songs made up about me.
Man.
I would walk down the hallway in school, and there would be a chorus of people singing a song that was made up to tease me. I was tortured by my last name.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Sap sucks. Sap sucker. You know, all kinds of terrible things about Sap. So, while I'm very proud of my name, I was afraid that the press would have a field day with my name.
Yeah.
So I decided to drop it.
Yeah. Well, it seems to have worked out okay, right? And that's LaShawn's is your grandmother's name? Is that
yes,
what I did? I read
actually,
that right?
Okay. Yes, it's my grandmother's name. It's my middle name.
Right.
It's my first name, my first legal name that I was born with was Rhonda,
right.
Which I dropped like as soon as I could tell people what my name was.
Got it.
So when I was a teenager, I would tell my friends to call me LaShawn's.
Right.
To just start calling me LaShawn's. Call me LaShawn's. Call me LaShawn's. And when I left home, I was LaShawn's. Right. But I still have some friends, and my family still calls me Rhonda.
Of course. Yeah.
And I still have some friends, older friends, that will call me Rhonda. But I correct them still, you know.
Right.
But that's how I dropped Sap. And right. I even thought about changing it just to have a different surname. But I think LaShawn's stood on its own. So
yeah, I think that's right. That's not you didn't have to. There's another LaShawn's in Equity, right? That you have
nope,
to,
didn't have to fight for that one.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for being here. It's really great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you.
Enjoy
as well.
the Tony hullabaloo.
Thank you.
Sure. Have fun with it. Thanks,
LaShawn. Thank you
LaShawn's.
So much.
That was Broadway favorite LaShawn's, nominated for a Tony Award this season in the title role of Summer, now playing at the L'Enfantin Theater. On the next episode of Stagecraft, I'll talk to Tina Fey, Lauren Michaels, Jeff Richmond, and Nell Benjamin, the creators and producer of the Tony-nominated musical Mean Girls. Until then, see you at the theater.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.